Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30. As I mentioned last week when we were here in this chapter is, we could look at as reflections of an old man. Now, I know oftentimes for younger people, old people can be a little tiresome because they tend to do these reflections. Young people don't sit back and think about what they've done, they just do, because it looks like something that might be interesting to do, and then we think about it after when we're young. But when we're old, we tend to begin to look back, and we look at things and reflect on things, and it can be very valuable for younger people if they have an ear to listen to the older people around them, in particular older people that have wisdom, that have actually gone through some challenges and trials and have gained wisdom. They can reflect back and sometimes save young people from some of the foolish, I was going to say stupid things, but my wife corrected me after last Sunday and said, "You use the word idiot and stupid. People don't use those words anymore. It's not politically correct." So I won't say stupid or idiot anymore. I'll just say foolish. But young people tend to be foolish, and if they can listen, sometimes you can be protected from some foolishness if you consider the wisdom of those that are older. And those of you that know your Bibles a little bit, you know in Jacob's life, he had gained wisdom, and he really began gaining wisdom in the womb. Jacob's life is characterized, if we were going to say of Jacob, what did he do most of his life? Well, he spent almost his whole life wrestling. He started out wrestling with his brother in the womb, and then when he was born, he had to wrestle again with this brother all through his early days. He had to wrestle with his father. He had to wrestle with his uncle. He had to wrestle with his wives. And ultimately, all this wrestling was building up for the big wrestling match when, unlike any of us, Jacob got an opportunity one night to actually wrestle with God. And he didn't win, but he prevailed. He didn't give up. He made it through the night. He wrestled through the night. And in that wrestling, he learned a lot. And that's what wrestling can do for us. We can learn things in the midst of the fight. And I kind of like, now that I'm an old guy, I like reading passages of the Bible that are reflections of an old guy. It hits right to me. It sounds good to me. And as we considered last week, an old man can have some real wisdom. And last week we were dealing with, this whole chapter deals with the topic of humility. And again, that's a big contrast between the old and the young. When you get older, it's easy to be humbled. Your body is breaking down. You have slips in your mind. Like sometimes as you get older, you'll walk into a room and then stop and say, why am I here? That's pretty humbling when that happens to you. And there'll be other times you'll start a sentence and then say, where was I going with this? What was I saying? Well, that's humbling. And that's good for us to be, as I mentioned last week, to be humbled, because arrogance is very, very deadly. And Jacob's wisdom to us last week was that the end result or the fruit of arrogance is when a culture is characterized by arrogance or people or even an individual, the people that suffer because of arrogance are the poor and needy. When someone's arrogant, they don't consider the less fortunate because all they think about is themselves and the promotion of themselves. So they walk right by someone on the side of the road that needs help. They don't even see them because they can only be thinking of advancing their own course. Well, it's that way with sin. Sometimes we look at sin, and as I said last week, we look at arrogance and we laugh at it. But it's really not that laughable because bad comes from it. And it's the same with what we're going to look at today, which is a lack of satisfaction. It's there's big problems when we are not satisfied. Another way to say it, when we're not grateful, and we, again, it's probably an outgrowth of arrogance, when you think that you haven't got what you should have. Like, have you ever, you know, like for parents, the way this works, sometimes our children will get angry with us because they don't feel like we've rewarded them in the way that they should be rewarded. Or they might make a comparison with the way you rewarded them in the way you may have rewarded another one of their siblings, and say things like, that's not fair, I didn't get my fair share. And once you begin to think like that, there's real consequences, is what Jacob says in his old age. And really what he's saying as a wise old man, these are things for us to give consideration to and change in our lives so that we'll more faithfully do what we're called to do, and that's to serve others and to love our neighbor as ourself, which is a primary duty that we have. And when we live in arrogance and we live in ingratitude, we don't do those things. We end up causing others to suffer because we're unfaithful. So we're going to look primarily at verse 15 and 16, but I'm going to start reading in verse 11 just to kind of have last week's reflections in the back of our mind as we consider this week. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this day, we pray for your aid, the aid of your Holy Spirit to open our minds that we might understand your desires for our life, both individually and corporately. Bless your people, Lord, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Jacob's little riddle today begins with a very kind of unattractive picture, a leech. I don't know if anyone here has fondness for leeches, but my experience is when you're a place where there are leeches, the whole idea is to not get them on you. You don't want to run into them. They're painful. I've never had one, but I hear they're painful. And they don't really help us. They suck our blood, is what they do. So that's kind of, we have this horse leech, and the horse leech has two daughters. And all the two daughters' names are Gimme and Gimme, or Give and Give. And you know, it's like having two kids that are always saying, hey, I want more, give me more. Now, when I say kids doing that, anyone that's a parent does not have a hard time understanding that. That's almost exactly what kids do. Give me, give me, give me. And if you give, the problem with giving, which you want to do as a parent, is when you do it, all that does is strike a nerve in them to ask for more. You know, if you buy them 1 gallon of ice cream, they want two the next time. If you buy them, you know, one baseball glove, they want the bigger and better one the next time. It's just the way that we are. I know it was the way I was when I was a boy. But the whole idea is he's putting a picture of something that can't be satisfied, that never can have enough. So he says, there are three things that can never have enough. No, wait a minute, there are four things that I want to present to you that never say, oh, no more, no more. One of the great things that comes with maturity and faith or growing up is humility, as I mentioned last week. And when we actually are becoming humble in a real true sense, the result of that is that we're not full of selfish arrogance anymore. We look at ourselves realistically. We're not full of ourselves. We know that we have problems. We know that we have areas of great weakness. We know we have areas of failing. But the arrogant are never satisfied because they really believe that they deserve better. And there's some of you here today, if you really think about it, and you really think about yourself, you really think you've got a raw deal. When you look at your spouse, you immediately say, they married up getting me. I don't think I've ever said that, and that would be probably the dumbest thing ever for me to say, is to have my wife think that she married up. I married up. You know, have her tell you the stories of what she got dealt when she first, those first few weeks, and she realized what she had for a husband. I didn't even know how to dress. She had to teach me at 25 how to dress, let alone how to do other things of responsibility. But when you're full of yourself, you just don't think like you've got a good deal. You think, woe is me. I got the worst cards dealt of anyone. And that's just not reality. But the humble, someone that's really humble. What characterizes the humble person? The humble person is grateful for any, you give some people the tiniest gift, and it's as if you gave them a diamond, because they're just so thankful. But you give a gift to the arrogant, and they'll say, oh, you couldn't get the other one? That better one? I know sometimes some people have come to me, and I think I've mentioned this to some of you before, and said, oh, Pastor Clark, you don't deserve what you're going through. And I laugh and say, don't be so foolish. God has been very, very kind to me. He's given me far better things than I ever deserved, and I would be way out of line, way, way out of line to question this little challenge that he put at this point in my life. It doesn't even compare to all the blessings I've enjoyed, and even the blessings I've enjoyed since I've been ill. Far outweigh the difficulties of my illness. I wouldn't trade it, really. But the main reason I don't have a gripe is if I got what I deserved, it would be far worse than this battle with cancer. Far, far worse. The me generation, or the me, gimme, gimme generation, is never satisfied. They always have to have more. And what is our examples of this mindset? The grave, the barren womb, the ground, and fire. One thing we can be guaranteed of until the end of time, the cemeteries of the world will be growing. None of them are going to get smaller. Why? Because we're all going to die. The graveyard is never satisfied. It always wants more. You know, we only have a few graves in our cemetery right now, but there'll be more. And it will continue to grow, guaranteed. That's the nature of the grave. We're all going there. And so the cemetery never says, enough! They're always looking for the next person. The barren womb is a very rich biblical imagery. Many, many examples of women in the Bible that could not have children. And what is when we find a woman in the Bible that can't have children, what is she normally doing? She's singing some slow dirge of a lament. We see Hannah going to the temple. I look around and all my friends are all having kids and I can't have one. Probably the greatest example of this, I don't know if we have any Rachels here today, but Rachel in the Bible is probably the greatest example of the, I guess, the envy of the barren womb. Now, there is an answer for the barren womb, but it's just not the answer that the selfish want. What the selfish wants, if they have a barren womb, they want to have a child. God's answer for that is adoption. We find it all through the Bible, and it's a glorious answer. There is an answer, but that's not the response of the one that's ungrateful. The one that's ungrateful is, how come so-and-so can have 7, 8, 9 kids, and I can't even have one? And they lamented. And that cry, Jacob says, they never stop crying. Well, how does Jacob know this? Jacob lived it. He knows this whine or this misery. Rachel was envious of her sister Leah. And what does she do? Instead of considering adoption, what does she do? She sends her handmaiden into her husband to solve the problem. And what did that do? It made it worse. A barren womb is misery for the woman. She'll continually sing of her remorse, and she's never satisfied. How many gardeners do we have? How many people have gardens? I just have a little flower garden of my wife's that I actually went out the other day, and I watered it for her. And spent about 15 minutes there putting the water on the garden. You know, I could have stayed there all day with the hose. And you know what would have happened? It would have just kept going and going and going. Why? Because that ground will suck up that water forever. You can't have enough water. Every once in a while, you might have a freak storm where the ground gets saturated, but what happens a day or two later? It's ready to take it all in again. Because it can't be satisfied. It's a hunger that cannot be satisfied. And then fire, too, will continue to burn until something else is brought into the equation to put it out. We see this sometimes in those wildfires out west. You know, it will start out sometimes a very, very simple little spark will end up consuming acres and just keep going until something comes, either rain or the expert fire guys are able to drop the water off and build these barriers so the wind won't continue. But when you have wind and you have trees, there's no stopping. It'll just keep burning. It's the very nature of fire. And we know that in the scripture, fire is often related to the human tongue, that our tongues are like this type of fire. And what happens when our tongues are not controlled and we let them run? We destroy things and tear things down. And the Bible tells us that it's like our tongues are like a burning fire. So when we consider these things, and again in the context of humility, in an old man's wise sayings, what do we have to learn from this idea of these two girls that stand on the corner and just say, "Mommy, gimme, 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 gimme," or "more blood, more blood, more blood"? I think with most leeches, they'll keep sucking blood until they get so big that they just fall off and they can't do it anymore. But if they could, they would just stay there and they'd probably explode if God didn't create them in a way that at a certain point of expanding, they just fall off and can't do it anymore. Well, we should again consider the idea of arrogance or humility. We should be those that are humble and count our blessings. As the old hymn says, count our blessings one by one. Amen. And if you take a moment, anytime you're feeling like I don't have enough. God gave me a raw deal. If you actually sat down all by yourself at your table and just started to make a list of the blessings you've enjoyed the last 30 days, good things that God has sent your way the last 30 days, you would need extra pieces of paper. Because that is the reality of our condition. But the problem is oftentimes we're blind to see it. Because we're so our focus is so bent upon getting, we don't even say thank you for the receiving that we've enjoyed. We need to acknowledge God's goodness to us. That's one of the things Jacob learned through all his wrestling, was to say thank you and to appreciate. You know, he had a rough life, there's no doubt about it. He had this wicked twin brother. He had two wives. Can you imagine the headache of having to manage two wives? I know sometimes young guys will say, oh, I'd kind of like to go back to those biblical times. What an idiot. Oh, I said it. Sorry, honey. What a dumb thing. God gives you one good one. Be happy and grateful and care for her and do as we're supposed to and die for them. Don't be thinking about something else. Because what will happen if you do that? You'll miss the blessing that you have right under your nose. We need to have gratitude for all that we've been given. You know, one of the worst things that parents do, and I see this sometimes, mainly when they're young, when they get older, they get wiser, they begin to compare children. You know, how come, let's see, who has perfect kids? How come the DeRoches got perfect kids and I get all these little brats? You know, what a foolish thing to do. The DeRoches got their children because God gave them those children. And you got the children you got because God gave them to you. And your job is to love them and care for them and raise them. And not to be holding them up next to somebody else. Once you do that, what do? You forget looking at the gift that you have, your kids. That's one of the greatest things that, you know, I would say that has come from my illness. I fell in love with my kids all over again. I've always loved them, but not as much as I love them now. They've been wonderful to me in my challenges, been my best friends, and I'm so grateful for that. But it took me having to get my eyes back on them and saying thank you. And I had a lot to say thank you for. Challenges will come our way like they did for Jacob, and we'll have to wrestle. But understand that there's, as there was with arrogance, when you are one that can't be satisfied, there's bad results from that. It's not just, you know, an old man's kind of, this would be nice for you to consider. These are real important things for us to be successful. We need to say thank you for what we have and what God's given to us. Communities are broken by leeches. If we had a congregation of people that just said, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, we'd have the most horrible community imaginable. But if we're a congregation of people that say, thank you, Lord, thank you, then there's a vessel that can be used to the benefit of others. And that's what our job is. When you lack humility, you're never content, and all you do is tear down what others have. We have to avoid doing those things, and I think Jacob's wisdom here is not only do we avoid doing it ourselves, but it's not good for us to be around these types of people. If your core of friends are all the give me, give me, give me, it'll eventually wear you out. It's not good for a community. It's not good for us individually. Hear the wisdom of the old man who's been tried and wrestled with God and ended up victorious. He knows what he's talking about. And we should heed his words. And I think we will find blessing come our way if we are faithful to his challenge. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your truth. Help us, O Lord, to take it in, and might it do wonders for us as we desire to fulfill our calling here on the earth, to love you with all our heart, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Bless your church, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.